and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Stephanie Domingo.
And I'm Tux Lerzel.
We be drinking, we be swearing.
We sure do.
I do. Time will tell if Tux can get on the same page as me. We come to you from Bushwick, Brooklyn, where we record on land belonging to the Lenape Nation, a nation that is one of many still very much out there doing its thing, and we'd like to acknowledge that. This is the show where we talk about whatever we want.
The mini.
Because we don't have a format for our mini-sodes anymore.
Who needs formats? It's 2021.
Yes.
Formats are so 2020.
Right? And also 2020, I don't know that girl.
Yeah. Who?
So we are talking about fun things like marginal tax rates.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting stuff today.
This is tax season, so we're being topical.
Yes.
So there's a common misunderstanding of marginal tax rates, and it's not at all accidental.
No, very much on purpose.
Yes. The Republican Party, the only party worth a damn when it comes to marketing and messaging, has used fear of increased taxes as a code for civil rights, amongst other things.
Good times.
Right? So I'm not going deep into the Southern strategy, but for those who don't know, it was the Republican Party electoral strategy that unified the party around white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, by appealing to racism against Black Americans, because that's strangely just very unifying. Not strangely, it's sadly.
Yes.
Sadly unifying. So it was a reaction to the civil rights movement, and it used coded language to obscure racism at the core of their beliefs. Words like big government and regulation and increased taxes and welfare, the non-corporate variety, of course. So this strategy, it matured into a broad attack on the federal government that was seen as pushing issues of social inclusion and progressive policies as a way to take money from good, hardworking, sturdy Americans
yeah,
to support the undeserving. And we know who those undeserving people are.
Yeah. At some point, we'll have to do like a real dive into the Southern strategy.
Yeah.
This is also kind of the time when the Republican Party and the Democratic Party flipped as like which one was the party of white racists.
Yeah, white resentment. Yeah, so this only served to give more power to the corporate elites.
Yeah.
So what is a marginal tax rate? It's really not that complicated. Vox has this really wonderful explainer video that I'm going to put in the show notes. It uses the idea of progressively larger pockets instead of brackets. So let's say that you're an individual making $84,000 a year. A common mistake is to find your tax bracket and then think you pay that rate on all of your income, which is not true. So this person would mistakenly owe 22% or $18,480. And this is wrong. And this is really, it's used as a way to have bad faith arguments about tax policy. So I just want people to know that that's not true. So first things first, I want to talk about a special pocket, a pocket that we know as deductions. If you're a single person, the government lets you put $12,000 in a tax-free pocket, like right off the bat from your income. So this is that pocket where you get your refund from, if you get a refund. So let's say that you give heavily to charity or you pay a lot of medical bills. You are allowed to set aside additional money in this special deductions pocket. So let's say that you're sick and you're extra charitable. So you're setting aside an extra $2,000 of your income. And I'm doing this mostly for the sake of round numbers because that gets us to $70,000, which is a nice round number. Only $9,700 can fit into the first pocket, the first bracket pocket, let's say. So you're going to pay 10% on this $9,700. Then the income that you earn past that amount goes into the next largest pocket, and you're going to owe 12% on that money. Then you need an extra pocket once you earn more than roughly $40,000, and you're going to owe 22% on that amount of money in that pocket, and so on. So instead of owing an extra $7,000, in reality, you get a refund of almost $3,000. So you're potentially getting a substantial refund instead of owing money.
Yeah.
The right-wing fear squad, they don't want you to think that.
Yeah.
They want you to think that you're going to owe $7,000 more if your taxes go up into that next bracket, which is not true. So let's say that you get a raise. That money just goes into the extra pocket. It doesn't automatically put you into the next bracket. And even if it did, you would only pay the overflow money.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I don't know if I'm... You're not... you're not paying that higher tax bracket on all of your income, no. Only the extra income that you just pushed you over into that next bracket.
Yeah. Like, say you're just $1,000 over that. You're just going to be paying that $1,000.
Yeah.
That extra rate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you're only taxed. That $1,000 is only taxed at that rate.
Yes. So the highest income bracket, we have seven of them, is you have to make more than $500,000 to be taxed at 37%.
Okay. Yeah. So the highest bracket starts at $500,000 and is taxed at 37%. And that's only for single people. So if you're single a couple. Single people,
correct. Yes.
If you're a couple, you have to earn over $1 million.
I don't think it's quite a million, but it's close to a million.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm using numbers from 2019 because of the Vox article that I found uses those numbers, and they're a little rounder.
It feels overly complicated, but in reality, the system works in a certain way, and it might be hard to sort of wrap your head around it, but it makes more sense that not all of your income would be taxed all at one rate.
Yeah.
And that rate gets higher the more you earn. That wouldn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Once you kind of wrap your head around it.
And yeah, it makes sense to me. It's like a progressive, like the more you make over a certain amount, the more that has to go back to the government. Because it's like potentially, I mean, you don't really need this. I don't know. Yeah. Weird to say you don't really need this money past $500,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, you do, but it should be taxed at a higher rate.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Emily. And we're from Whining About Herstory.
Ever notice how women seem to be missed, forgotten, or maybe even purposely left out of history books?
We did. So we decided to take the his out of history and make it Herstory.
Each episode, we discuss the lives and general awesomeness of these historical Wonder Women, all while having a glass of wine.
Or maybe a bottle. Come join us on all of your favorite podcast platforms at WAH Pod on Instagram, WAH underscore pod on Twitter, and at Whining About Herstory. Remember, that's no H or E in whining.
See you soon. Cheers.
So yeah, I'm just going to let you talk about the historical rate change, because I know there's a lot of misinformation, especially surrounding the Green New Deal.
Yeah,
and how absolutely. AOC wants to come for 70% of your income.
And just steal all the money from the rich people. Yeah. So when people talk about the marginal tax rate, most of the time, 9 times out of 10, or even like 9.9 times out of 10, if you're hearing somebody talking about raising the marginal tax rate, they're not talking about raising the tax rate across all of these margins. They're talking about raising the top tier.
Yeah, that marginal last tax bracket. Rate.
So I'm going to try to remind myself or to remember to say top tier marginal tax rate. But if I'm saying marginal tax rate, I'm talking about that top tier. Currently, as Stephanie said, in the United States, that top tax bracket is taxed at 37%. In 2019, at the World Economic Forum, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, dude, you're getting a Dell, he was asked about the idea of raising the top marginal tax rate to 70%. And I bet you would be really shocked to hear.
Was he upset?
Yeah. He said, from his personal perspective, it would be a bad idea.
What a complex thought he had.
He went on to say that he thought that it would be bad for the country's growth. And when he was asked to explain that, he said his explanation was, name a country where that's worked. Ever.
Ha! Oh, he doesn't know history good.
Yeah. So one top MIT economist who was on the panel decided he had something to say to Mr. Dell and was like, actually, there is such a country.
Yeah.
The United States.
How awkward.
Right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't just happening in the United States either. Lots of nations across the world were taxing.
Yeah.
That top tier was being taxed at a really high rate.
Yeah.
But in the United States, this was happening. People were being taxed at least this 70% top tier marginal tax rate. And often it went much higher for a lot of years in the U.S. through the administrations of Franklin Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, and Carter. All through those administrations, that top tier tax bracket was being taxed at 70% or higher.
So Reagan did something different.
Yeah. I like that you caught that, that Mr. Reagan's name wasn't on that list. The marginal tax rate, just to kind of go through how that tax rate has gone up and down over the years, it was also over 70% at the beginning of the 1920s, mm-hmm. when the economy is doing really, really well. But by the end of the 20s, just before the Great Depression, that number had dipped to its lowest rate in the past 100 plus years, 24%.
Whoa.
Thankfully, during the Depression, after Roosevelt was elected, he raised that number back up, and he actually kept raising it over the years that he was in office.
So who dropped it down to 24?
I don't actually know what administration that was. I didn't look into it. Yeah. But so he kept raising it up over his years in office, and towards the end of World War II, in the last couple of years of World War II, it had gone as high as 94%.
Amazing.
After the war, though, all through the 1950s, the end of the 40s after the war, all through the 1950s and into the 60s, so all through those years, that whole time, it sat at around 91 or 92%.
Wow.
The entire time.
I don't think a lot of people know that.
People have no idea and think that the 70% is like this crazy high number. And in reality, it's not. It could be much higher.
And they think 37% is oppression.
Yeah, totally. It was actually Kennedy, President Kennedy, who dropped it down to 70%, which was a drastic drop at the time. Mm-hmm. And it stayed at that 70%, in the 70% range for well over a decade, almost two decades. And there it sat until, guess who? St. Reagan dropped it. And by the end of the Reagan years, the marginal tax rate had gone as low as 28%.
Fuck.
Almost as low as before the Great Depression.
Wow, 28%.
Yeah. So then in the 1990s, it did go up again after Reagan, but just up into the 30% range. It has gone up and down a little bit, but it has stayed in that 30% range ever since the 1990s.
That explains so much about why we don't have just basic things.
We have no money in this country anymore for like maintaining anything or basic standard of living kind of things.
Yeah. We have money for Raytheon, but totally. No money for anything else.
Yeah. So obviously, raising the marginal tax rate to 70% is not nearly as radical as Republicans would like us to believe. And this is not some socialist lefty plot to destroy the country or take all the money away from the rich people. That marginal tax rate number had been 70% or much higher for basically half of the 20th century, almost half of the 20th century.
And I think we would know that if we didn't have such corporate BS masquerading as news.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like they don't want the public to know that there was a long period of time when the marginal tax rate on this top tier was so much higher.
Yeah. And those years that it was that high were like the golden years that everybody looks back at. No, well, white people look back at. So nostalgically as like the good old days, especially in the 1950s, the years that it was at its highest were also years of incredible, incredible economic growth and prosperity.
Yeah.
The middle class was thriving
schools
in ways.
Schools were funded.
Yeah.
Public schools were funded or created.
Absolutely. So now, today, Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are some of the most vocal proponents of raising this marginal tax rate. You know, there's lots of other politicians who are also into the idea, but they're the ones that are really saying this all the time. They're saying that they want to use that money that they would raise to help fund tuition-free college, to help fund a single-payer healthcare system, or help pay for the Green New Deal.
Yeah, infrastructure.
And these are all things that could benefit millions and millions of people in this country, and if not around the world. The Green New Deal would certainly benefit the entire world. So using that tax money to fund these big government projects and social programs is actually not the only benefit of raising the marginal tax rate this high in the first place. What a lot of people don't understand about raising a marginal tax rate is that, you know, yes, the government brings in more money and it does serve the nation to be able to collect tax money and use that tax money for things. But there's another part of this. When income over a certain amount is taxed much more heavily, that means that there is less incentive for companies to pay their executives and shareholders and CEOs more than a certain amount of money. Basically, the thinking here is, why bother paying more than, for example, currently $500,000 if 70% of that money or more is going to be given away to the government?
70% of that money beyond.
Yes, more than $500,000. Mm-hmm. Why would we pay more than that if whatever's coming off the top is going to just disappear into the pockets of the government instead of the pockets of wealthy people? So that's actually kind of the point of having a high marginal tax rate in the first place. Since companies and executives and shareholders and CEOs want to keep as much of their money as possible for themselves, rather than just throwing it away to the government, when the tax rate is really high in that way, they use that money in other ways instead of just sitting on it. In the 1950s, when marginal tax rates were over 90%, they did that by using their money to do things like hire more staff, invest in research and development, build new factories and offices and warehouses, make capital improvements to their businesses, and buy new equipment so that they could be more competitive going forward. So essentially, what's happening here is when that marginal tax rate is that high, these companies would rather spend that money on themselves, basically reinvesting back into themselves, rather than giving that money away to the government. Mm-hmm. But doing this not only creates new jobs within their companies, but it also creates jobs for the equipment manufacturers and the construction companies and all the other companies who help the first company grow and do all the things that they need to do to grow. In addition to all these extra jobs that are created because of this money, they also give a lot of that money back to their workforce in the form of raises and bonuses and benefits and pensions.
Paying workers?
I know.
What they're worth?
Yeah. Now that is radical.
That is extreme. That sounds like communism.
Yeah. So basically, since these executives, the income that they can bring in is basically capped at a certain tier.
Yes.
And they would be losing a lot of everything else that's coming off the top. Mm-hmm. Instead of letting that happen, they pay their staff more because that helps them look more competitive in the job market. They're paying more and it helps them find and keep better staff.
And there's more money just flowing through the economy because these people are actually buying things instead of hoarding their wealth and buying solid gold babies every once in a while. People are buying what they need.
Yes. Essentially, what a marginal tax rate is, well, a top tier marginal tax rate, is almost like a disincentive to sit on your wealth.
Yep.
Companies are spending it on themselves instead, or giving it to their employees who will spend it.
Yeah.
Because unlike the rich who do tend to sit and hoard their wealth, the middle class needs to spend a larger chunk of their money just to pay for everyday normal living expenses. And then if there's anything left over, maybe they'll save some of it, but they're also going to spend it on luxury goods and vacations and that kind of stuff. Whereas a rich person has so much money that even if they buy Fendi bags every other day and go to Ibiza on their private yacht, they still have a huge, huge percentage of money just sitting in a bank somewhere just so that they can say, I have $40 bajillion and you don't.
I think I told you that I'm seeing crazy selling reports.
Oh.
Because we're 2 weeks past the stimulus checks hitting.
Oh, it worked.
Yeah, it worked. It's ridiculous. Like, all of our accounts almost are like 200 or 300 up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just because people just got a check from the government. So they have a little money to spend.
Correct. Yeah.
This is what happens when there more money is injected into the economy.
It's wild.
Yeah.
That you can see it so clearly.
The idea that if you give rich people more money, it's going to benefit the economy in any way is so misguided, because we already know that rich people just want to sit on their money. They're not
spending it. They want to sit on their money. They want to give it to their kids.
But when you give more money to the middle class, the economy flourishes.
Oh, yes.
In the 1950s, this is what economists called the virtuous circle of growth. In the 50s, well-paid workers fueled consumer demand, and that generated business expansion and hiring because businesses were doing well because consumers were buying things. Mm-hmm. So that raised corporate profits, which led to higher wages for their staff and even more hiring. And it just was like a feedback loop.
Exactly. Like, I don't understand big corporations being so upset about the stimulus, because it's like, you're going to get this money back.
It's,
and then some. Immediately. It's coming right back to exactly. you. Like, this yeah. helps you more than anyone.
Yeah, yeah. Fortune said by the mid-1950s, you know, like about a decade after that tax rate had been set at 90%, mm-hmm. by that point, the number of middle-class families in America was increasing by 1.1 million families every year.
Wow. Instead of the opposite happening.
Exactly, yeah. And what tax money was going into the government, because, you know, some people were still being paid over that top-tier of tax course, bracket. Yeah. So there was money coming in because the tax was so high on that top tier. That money was being used to do things like expand Social Security, invest in education, help subsidize higher education, mm-hmm. which is why college used to be so much more affordable back then than it is now, because it used to be subsidized by the government, which it is no longer. They also used it to fund the GI Bill and do things like build massive public works projects like the interstate highway system. Which was also taxpayer funded because they put a gas tax to help pay for the interstate highway. But still,
yeah.
some of it did go towards that as well. Unfortunately, Eisenhower was also using a huge chunk of that extra
money.
Yes, to beef up military spending
yeah.
and fund the Cold War.
Ugh.
But either way, Americans still benefited in a very distinct, measurable way from taxing the rich mm-hmm. on that last tier of their income so high. It is important to note here, however, that it's a complicated issue. When we're talking about tax rates, there are some other important details that kind of
this is a very simplified view.
Oh, 100%. Like,
taxes are so complicated.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you have to go to school to really know the ins and outs of it.
100%, yeah. There's these other details that are important to consider about the years that the taxes were this high. Details like, what was the income? What income levels were applied to which tax brackets?
Okay.
And like, so what, how much money did you have to be making to
be pushed into that next pocket?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And what loopholes and exemptions were available yes. for people at the time, and how much tax did people actually pay? Because all of those things have also fluctuated over the mm-hmm. years.
And the business tax rate too has
exactly.
fluctuated over
yeah.
the last 100 years
yeah.
significantly.
Exactly. So the bottom line here is that raising a marginal tax rate isn't actually enough on its own.
No.
I mean, it's a start. Yeah. It would
Please
be
do
incredible.
It.
We have to do it. Do not get us wrong. It's very necessary.
But it's
necessary.
Not a one fix sort of thing.
Exactly. We would also need to increase corporate taxes at the same time and work to close up these loopholes mm-hmm. and exemptions to make it harder to find ways around paying your taxes.
Yes, because rich people will find a way.
Exactly. Basically, from like 1951 to around 1963, when the tax rates were really, really super high, it's important to note that at the same time, that marginal tax rate was 91 or 92%, but taxes on corporate profits were also more than double what they are today.
They're so low now.
Yeah, which basically created another incentive for companies to reinvest in themselves rather than sit on their money. And at the same time, estate taxes and capital gains taxes were also much higher in the 1950s than they are today. This basically meant that all of these different...
It was like anti-hoarding mechanisms,
exactly.
basically.
Yes. If you have all this money,
yeah.
do something with it.
Yeah.
Don't just sit on it. It doesn't... Like, the government isn't saying you can't be rich.
Yeah.
They definitely
never said that.
Yeah. The point is... Go ahead and be as wealthy as you want, but do something with your money. Mm-hmm. Use your money.
Yeah.
If your company is thriving, the economy thrives, and it's a virtuous circle of growth.
I wish Americans thought that taxes were patriotic.
Yeah.
It's something
seriously.
That you pay to the country to make the country that you supposedly love better.
They really are. Like you said, the Republican Party's been so good at marketing and propaganda. Mm-hmm. We need to find a way to put the propaganda out there that taxes are patriotic, because they really are.
Yeah.
They benefit. They don't just benefit everyone else. They don't just benefit poor people, but they benefit you. They make the entire country better. Exactly. It's a better place to live. Even
yeah.
if you're rich and you can build your own little world, you still live in a better place if the roads are better mm-hmm. and people are thriving and your company will do better mm-hmm. if people have money to spend. It
yeah.
all just kind of works and feeds into each other. So yeah, all of these different tax rates in the 50s all being high at the same time. Basically, they all worked in tandem together and kind of reinforced one another mm-hmm. to make sure that there was an incentive to spend and use your money rather than sitting on it. Yeah. But since Reagan slashed all of these tax rates in the 80s, we have lost so much of what helped build the middle class into what it once was. Corporations today are sitting on record levels of cash, and they often only even ever use it to pay their executives and shareholders mm-hmm. and buy back their own shares to make themselves more valuable in the marketplace, rather than reinvesting it in ways that actually benefit and grow the economy.
Terrible.
In the 1950s, the average corporate CEO was paid about 20 times more than that of the typical worker, which is significant. 20 times.
Oh, yeah.
You are rich. That's
you're stinking rich.
Yeah. But by 2016.
You don't have to worry about money.
Seriously.
Your whole life.
If you're being paid 20 times the guy that's making $50,000 a yeah. year, you're rich. But by 2016, CEO's salaries now average more than 200 times that of the average worker.
That's
basically since like the 70s or 80s, they have gone up 100 times.
Yeah, that's why cocaine got so big in the 80s. Because they're just like, we need to snort our money.
Yes. Which was great for drug. It was really good for the drug economy. Yes. In the 80s.
They were supporting the drug economy.
Yes, which is why then we had to have an anti-drug campaign because yes. The drug economy was thriving.
That's why we have Miami.
So today, instead of that virtuous circle of growth that we had in the 1950s, we have now devolved into a vicious cycle of decline. Education is underfunded. Yeah. Healthcare is a mess. Infrastructure is crumbling in this yeah. country. And every year, the middle class shrinks year after year after year. The percentage of people.
But it was supposed to trickle down, Tux.
I know.
I heard about it trickle. Don't you see the trickle?
Oh, the trickle. Speaking of that, yes, conservatives have a lot of Americans brainwashed into thinking that low taxes are better for the economy. Yeah. They're just out it's there with the magnifying glass looking for that trickle.
Yeah.
Since the 80s, they haven't seen it happen yet, but it will if we just wait.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about that we don't have, we obviously don't have trickle down.
Economics.
Yeah. We have trickle down costs.
Seriously.
It's just like everything gets worse and everyone feels that.
Yes. Everyone is paying the price for rich people to sit on mountains of money.
Mm-hmm.
So they have people believing that having a 70% marginal tax rate is this extreme, drastic, radical idea, which basically kind of means that the odds aren't in our favor to try and make this happen. And passing a 70% marginal tax rate might not happen for a very long time. That shouldn't stop us from trying.
Yeah.
I do think, however, that because it is going to be such a hard-fought battle, we might want to consider incremental change over years instead of just like shooting for the stars and missing.
Yeah.
I do think that we need to get there. We need to get over 70% actually.
We do need to get over.
But even increasing taxes just 10% on that top tier of income earners.
We need to haggle. We need to start with 70 and like maybe we'll get like 45.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because even just an extra 10% would bring in an extra $140 billion into the government every year.
That is massive.
Yeah. And think what the government could do with that money and how it would benefit other people if rich people were like, oh, you know what? If we spent that money, we wouldn't have to give it to the government.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. It's an incentive to spend rather than hoard.
Yeah. I just wish companies could really understand and like just all the people who were shocked in our sales meeting. Like I was looking around the room being like, this makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
When poorer people or just like middle income people have money, they spend it.
Absolutely.
And we see it instantly.
Yes, instantly.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what would happen if there was some sort of like a universal basic income kind of a policy where people got money all the time, especially during COVID? Yeah. I think
just an extra $500, I think, is what they're trying to do in San Francisco. I think you sent me that article.
Yeah. Oakland.
Oakland, yeah.
Yeah. And it elevates everyone, mm-hmm. not just poor people.
No.
Everyone benefits.
The
cities benefit because more money is coming into the government to pay for roads and blah, 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 blah. That trickles. It trickles up.
It trickles up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that money's going to come back to you twofold.
Exactly.
If not more.
Yeah.
I just wish they were slightly less greedy and could just look at the numbers.
I just don't understand. Like, after your first $100 billion,
yeah,
what do you need more billions for? Like, what benefit is there if planning on actually spending that money?
Worth is tied up in their bank accounts. Like, it's just like more is more.
It's, you're never going to spend it. You couldn't spend it if you wanted to. That was a real quick and dirty, very simplified, delve into the idea of marginal tax rates. But I do hope that it was enlightening for some people to kind of understand when you hear people, especially progressive politicians, talking about raising a marginal tax rate, what that actually means and why it's a good idea.
Or when you hear people complaining, like people who are just working average jobs, and there's nothing wrong with working average jobs. But if you hear people complaining about like, oh, they're going to raise our taxes.
They're not raising taxes on you. They're raising taxes on the wealthy.
Yeah. And it's going to help you if they do.
Exactly. Yes. In immeasurable ways.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah.
Our drinks are empty.
Yes.
So I guess it's time to go. We're done. Oh, thank you so much for listening to Beyond Reproach. This has been Tux Lerzel.
Stephanie Domingo.
Signing off. Yeah. Thank you to Tim Clough, our editor, our sound engineer, our podfather and powerful wizard.
Yes.
We could not do this without you, Tim. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye. Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn, on land belonging to the Lenape Nation. New episodes are released the first and third Monday of every month. Please note that we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. Full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop at beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We are on Patreon if anyone would love to show us some love and throw us some nickels to support the production of our show.